Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever you're listening. If you're listening live, good evening. And I would hate to break it to all yens, but if you missed the Black Friday Tiger Fitness sale, then the deals are gone. They had a Cyber Monday sale that was pretty good too. You get free outright bars, but yeah, if you guys missed it, I'm sorry. Today we are going to be talking about the rise of the incels and the bird flu pandemic. Both I'm going to put as alleged. Let's just say that, because this both seem like quite a bit of a BS, if you will. So I seen a post going around from the almighty Nick F. I don't know if YouTube allows you to say his name or not, but anyways, basically talking about how testosterone plummets off a cliff once you get married, and also what if Althist, or what if Autist, whatever the heck his name is, had made a video, a 40-minute video basically called Rise of the Incels. So I want to talk about that, and then I'm seeing from the Majority Report, which I just kind of watch their stuff to kind of keep up on the general liberal point of view, which I would use another word, but we're still in the introduction, so I don't want to pull the video just yet. I watch that for mainly the craziness that comes out of their mouths, which just could always be guaranteed to be hilarious. So I think we'll probably tackle the bird flu first and then go into Rise of the Incels afterwards. So anyways, if you missed the Target Fitness sale, I'm sorry. I'm sure they'll have another sale here sooner or later. But anyways, hit all the links below to figure out what I got going on everywhere I'm doing it. Common Crown's going very, very well. In 10 days, we will be in Akron, Ohio, if you're listening to this live. So feel free to come check us out there if you're in the area. I know a couple other people that I'm friends with off Twitter are going to come visit. So that's going to be really, really cool. We're going to be debuting 3 new songs, I think. 2, 3, maybe 4. So anyways, it's gonna be a good show. And if you are a member of the channel, then you could see that footage, once I get it up here on YouTube. So make sure you become a member for just the lowly price of $2.99 a month to support me and everything I do. Tiger Fitness through the link below, Fox and Sons Coffee, use code Kyle at checkout to get some absolutely incredible coffee. I'm going through their Den Blend Dark right now, and man, that stuff is just killer. Love it. Absolutely love it. And Deemed Fit through the link below, to make sure you look all good tonight. Evening, sir. Before I address that comment, I'll run the introduction and we'll just kind of start chit-chatting away. And one more time, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you're listening. Balthazar, evening, sir. How's the show? Are we supposed to get hit again tonight? If you define what hit meant. I saw there was some assassination with some drug dude or some dude that runs some health company. I have not kept up with that at all. There's a whole ton of stuff that I just don't keep up with. So I'm sorry, I'm not your most reliable news source for absolutely everything going on at all times. Conrail, good to see you. Oh, snow. I got you, man. Yeah, hopefully not. Let's get rid of that stuff, man. I hate the snow. I say it all the time. I am like a Florida man at heart. If we had like 90 and sunny all the time, I'd be sweating, but I'd be much, 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 much happier. I can't stand the snow. So hopefully that stuff stays as far away as possible. Eddie Grimm, good to see you. Lee Rhodes, Foxhead 2020. Not sure exactly what you're referring to there. But anyways, good to see everybody in the chat today. The bird flu pandemic, we'll start with that because once again, I see some mostly leftists freaking out about this. And for the same group of people who fell for all the stuff in 2020, I can't say I'm exactly surprised. They've been trying to like get a pandemic going again because I think they know that people generally get into hysterics and are very, very easy to push around. You can make them do all sorts of things that they wouldn't normally do in regular times if there's a pandemic. You know, monkeypox a year ago. There was something else recently that I know they're trying to push up, but I think the general public, their tolerance for lockdowns and stuff like that is like at an all-time low. Like you could not advocate anything like that because people just lose their minds. And there will be some people that go along with it, surely, but like I think most people, even some like center left people, will just be like, no, we're not doing this. So I saw a video come across my feed of the Majority Report. And since we're about 5 minutes in, I should be clear to say it now. But I generally watch the Majority Report for kind of like the shit lib perspective to kind of see where they're coming from and like what's kind of going on in the general shit lib perspective. And they had said that bird flu is going to be a big deal. And the person that they had on said that there were only like 3 cases. So I'm like, all right. And they were mostly in animals, if I recall correctly. I may have some of this stuff. I may not have some of these details perfectly. But yeah, they said there were like 3 people, long tone, there were a few cases that just weren't in humans. I'm sorry. I think some of the cases were from people allegedly, once again, this is all allegedly, drinking raw milk. And they got bird flu from raw milk from cows. And this is all Trump's fault and all RFK's fault, because now people are chugging raw milk. And there were only 3 cases. And I got an article, so we'll maybe read this. Lockdowns are highly unlikely nowadays. Even leftists across the board are not in favor of lockdowns. Yeah, I mean, it's really not tenable. I think people's patience for that kind of stuff just is at an all-time low. And on top of that, if you're going to tell people they have to stay home, I know people generally aren't smart enough, and I know this sounds really crappy to say, but like people generally aren't smart enough to connect the fact that lockdowns and telling everybody to stay home from work and then inflating the currency and printing 40% of all dollars into circulation in just a small short bout of time. Most people aren't smart enough to figure out that that causes inflation. So anyways, I'll pull up this article here from, let me make sure I got the website right. Goldrushcam.com. And this is about farmers out in California. And like at the beginning of the article, they just kind of talk about some of the stuff what's going on. So California Farm Bureau says farmers need to plan to keep employees safe from avian flu or the bird flu. December 4th, 2024 by Ching Li, to protect employees who work with dairy cows and poultry from H5N1 bird flu, farmers should have a basic plan in place, even if their animals are not infected. And it's so funny because this is so reminiscent of 2020 where, you were told that you have to wear a mask even if you're not infected because you could be asymptomatic, which asymptomatic means you're not sick. And even the CDC came out and said, if you're not sick, you're not contagious. And I believe it was officials from the CDC that said this. And obviously all this stuff's so old now that I can't remember it off the top of my head. But they said asymptomatic spread does not happen. And then even our new, and you know, big ups to Trump for appointing Jay Bhattacharya. So for the podcast audience who may not follow me on Twitter or may not know, Jay Bhattacharya is a if I remember correctly, a virologist and an economist from Stanford who drafted the Great Barrington Declaration. And I got to say, man, he is the pick. I mean, there is no one better that could really head the NIH other than Jay Bhattacharya. So I got to give it to Trump when he picks somebody good. And you know what? Jay Bhattacharya is the man for that job. So big ups to him for that. And also big ups to Ron DeSantis, honestly, for consulting with Jay Bhattacharya throughout 2020 to kind of get all his COVID information in the line. And maybe if we had someone like that in 2020, maybe we'd be a lot better off. So such advice and other guidelines were shared during a webinar last month hosted by the California Farm Bureau Affiliated Farm Employee Labor Services. And basically they just kind of talk about some of the procedures here. Unlike the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, when a very active wildfire season coincided with a surge in demand for medical personnel, leading to shortages of N95 respirators, little noted personal protective equipment or PPE is now readily available through a variety of sources. He encouraged farm operators to make N95s available if their employees want to use them. As of December 2nd, it's December 4th right now. This article, I believe, actually debuted a few hours before I decided to hop live because, as you can see up top, it says it's dated for December 4th. As of December 2nd, 31 human cases of H5N1 bird flu had been confirmed in California, according to the California Department of Public Health. All but one have been Central Valley dairy workers who had direct contact with infected cattle. The workers have all experienced mild symptoms, primarily eye infections, with no hospitalizations. The state also continues to investigate bird flu case in Alameda County child who had no known contact with an infected animal. Health officials said they're looking into whether whether the child had exposure to wild birds. All other confirmed cases have been animal to human transmissions with no known human to human transmission. As of December 2nd, 475 California dairies have been infected by bird flu since the state's first case was confirmed in August. Dairy workers can catch the virus in the milking parlor if infected, raw milk splashes their faces. They could also catch H5N1 through the air if infected animal sneezes or coughs in their direction. Glenn Denning said that's why face masks or face shields are important. It appears infections can come through the eyes, mouth, or nasal membranes. For those working with infected herds, respiratory protection is going to be even more important. So basically, as we kind of saw a couple months ago, or, you know, in 2020, they're trying to hype up fear about bird flu because, oh my God, some cows got infected. So I'll do this live so that way everyone can see bird flu 2024. So there are a ton of top stories here. As you can see, I clicked on some of these and we're reviewing them. I wanted to find, is bird flu going around in 2024? The USDA reports that since April 2024, there have been H5 detections in 50 commercial poultry flocks and 38 backyards for a total of 25.61 million birds infected. Should I worry about bird flu? The CDC believes the risk of it infecting humans is low, but its impact on your pocketbook could be high. If I remember correctly, it said there was like, okay, so you know what, bird flu, let's look up how many bird flu cases in US. As of November 29th, 2024, there are 55 confirmed cases of H5N1. And then as we saw, there were 32 in Florida, or I'm sorry, in California. So, if you're just of sane mind and looking at this, I think you could tell it's really not that big of a deal. I know the left wing is just aching for their next, you know, absolute meltdown. And if I'm being honest, I don't think this is going to be it. Yeah, wife and I are planning on trying some braised oxtail this weekend. You know what, B? I have tried oxtail before, and you would be surprised. Oxtail is actually pretty good. I think it was when I went on my first cruise, they had it as an option for one of the dinners. And I was like, you know what? What the hell? Let me try some oxtail. So I tried some oxtail. It's pretty good. My understanding is it's pretty tough. So you have to get it right. So I don't know. I didn't mind it. I think it had like some gravy or something with it. I thought it was pretty good though. So, let me know how it goes. I'll see you next Tuesday. I love saying that. I truly do. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was the rise of the incels. So what if Althist, which I don't know much about the guy. Everything I've seen from him is like a pretty autistic take. I hate to say that, but like seems like a pretty like a dude who didn't get like beat up enough or hugged enough by his dad as a kid. Oxtails are good. Short ribs are good. Use a pressure cooker. Yes. And that's how I cooked my braised beef ribs that I did before. So I have a pressure cooker and I believe you're supposed to get the beef ribs up to a pretty hot temp because that's a pretty tender cut. It's kind of like brisket. Brisket's really, really tough. So that's why you have to get it up to like 195 to 205 degrees. So that way all the connective tissue breaks down. It's a little bit softer. I think braised beef ribs are the same way. Honestly, I don't know where brisket comes from on a cow. I love brisket, but I feel like that's something I should know, but I don't know it. Apologies. So anyways, what if Althus did a video called Rise of the Incels, or I don't remember exactly what it is, but if you scroll through his channel, you'll find it. It's almost a million views right now. I think it's like 741,000. So maybe not almost at a million, but getting there. He had basically posed that as society increases in disaffected men who can't find women to marry or settle down with or have kids with, then that tends to destabilize a society, which is a reasonable and logical proposition, and for the most part, actually true. Where I think he went wrong is in basically downplaying the degree to how much worse sedated day to day, and also like how bad things are. He had posited that in times throughout history that whenever people got to 28 years old, whenever the marriage age or like age of first marriage reaches like 28 years old, that's when typically like society really starts to crumble. And you could definitely argue there's signs of that. I mean, there's no doubt. And if you've watched Cognitive Vigilance or watch any like the more red pill sphere that I frequent in a little bit, you'll know that we do talk about kind of the dating disparity between men and women, where basically average men are okay with average women and average women are not okay with average men. Due to a globalized sexual marketplace, we're dealing with disparities in perceptions and what women think they can get versus what they can actually get. And there's a degree of which adult content, if you will, because there's a certain word that you can't say on this platform without getting a little pee-pee smack, but adult content gives men a different perception of the world. Now, as to how much that actually affects their perception, that's yet to really be explored. But, you know, it does serve as a sedation in stopping guys from, let's say, leveling up or going out and working out or doing something that they would otherwise do with their time. So basically what the theory was is that as you have more and more of these men that are chasing women and the women who don't want anything to do with these average men, that this is creating a incel revolution. So perhaps I should lay out what the definition of a incel is. And self-identified incels are like a rounding error in the overall number of the population. I think literally like self-identified incels, when polled, they were like a fraction of a percent of the population. So this really isn't like a very large group of people. So that being said, it isn't always a large group of people that need to move the masses or concoct a giant movement. So we're dealing with, you know, basically men who feel like they can't get a date and they call themselves involuntarily celibate, which just that alone to me, if I were a woman or anybody looking for, you know, kind of a partner, if somebody identified themselves as involuntarily celibate, as in like it is not their choice that they can't get laid, it's like there's the physiognomy probably doesn't lie. Like there's probably a reason for that. It's probably not everybody else's problem that you can't get laid. It's probably because you have too many features about you that are unattractive and not attractive. It goes to a point that Jack and I were kind of talking about on Friday, if you listen to Friday's show, where the goal should be for most guys, don't be unattractive, be attractive, or be attractive, don't be unattractive. What those behaviors are obviously going to be things that you can, and maybe in some cases you can't change. You can't change your height. That sucks, but it is what it is. You can't change your parents, which is going to largely determine your genetics. You could change your body composition. You can change your attitude. You can change how you interact with the opposite sex and other people. And those things will actually do a great deal in changing how the opposite sex sees you and your general prospects for finding a partner. I am also not here to tell you how to do that, but I can tell you things and hopefully maybe steer you in the right direction as to how you can change yourself to change your prospects for the better. These guys feel rudderless in that respect, as in they feel like society has largely shut them out and that if it were a different time, then things would be better for them. I'm here to tell you that if times were different, then things would not be better for you. I'm here to tell you that, yes, it is probably in large part your fault as to why you don't have a partner right now and why nobody finds you attractive, which is harsh, but at least with that, you know that you could change it, because if it's your fault, that means that it's within your power to do something about it. So before we play this clip that went viral, let me run an ad real quick and we will continue on.
I am stoked to tell you guys about the show's new sponsor. I am now working with MTS Nutrition, which is a brand that I've believed in for a very long time, and they run awesome cells and they have awesome products. So I want to tell you about their amazing protein powder, which you're going to ask me how many pounds I have of the protein powder, and the answer is all of them. So here I got red velvet cake, 25 grams of protein. And they have the amino acids and everything on there, 59 servings. Peanut butter fluff, fluffer nutter, 26 grams of protein. And then also the chocolate chip cookie, which literally has real pieces of chocolate chip cookie in there. So 27 grams of protein, 180. As I've talked about on the show, getting your protein in is very, very important. So make sure you hit that link below and purchase your protein powder through MTS Nutrition. Boom!
All right, I feel like I haven't ran that ad in a while. So there's a viral video going of Mr. Nick Fuentes talking about how your testosterone plummets off a cliff when men get married. So there probably is a case to that, but I did a whole podcast on this. If you look up what's up, and I think it's in quotes, or down with testosterone, it was a couple months back, maybe even like a year back, where I kind of covered some of the details on how testosterone kind of works and also why testosterone scores are dropping for men throughout the years. But if you don't want to watch that full thing, I'll give you the till deer real quick. The too long didn't read. And basically it's that over time we have gotten fatter as a population. And like the whole theory about microplastics and the taint shrinking and all this other stuff. There's very, very little merit to it. And the merit that is there is usually in like rodent studies. So, yeah, JC, good to see you. And Jordan, Nick definitely engaging in some low T behaviors. Yeah. Yeah, he definitely is. And he doesn't have very high testosterone despite what he wants to tell you, or at least he doesn't look like he does. And I'm not claiming I have high T either. Maybe I do. I mean, I would think because of the beard, muscle mass, voice, brow, I don't know. So basically like the too long didn't read is just that your body composition does generally kind of dictate how your testosterone really is. So if you are more on the obese side, then, obese fat cells generally do aromatize and cause your estrogen to rise and your testosterone to lower. So if you get into a better body composition, then your testosterone will actually raise. If you have poor sleep, that'll affect your testosterone scores. I've heard drugs can affect it, alcohol, marijuana. That I'm not quite as sure of. But the study that I went over, which once again, if you go back to the video about or what's up or down with testosterone, I cover a study where I think they went to five different cohorts in five different countries and found that it was like a one-to-one with body composition as to what people's testosterone scores were. And I think in that podcast too, I also put up the chart that Ted Naiman oftentimes cites, where basically ever since like 1972, our overall caloric consumption has continued to go up. So with that, if our testosterone or if our caloric consumption continues to go up and up and up and our activity goes down, then over time the population is going to get more obese. And therefore, if we get more obese, then as I just said, we're going to have lower testosterone. So, Connor, let me address this real quick. I'll never say I never had any girlfriends, due in part because I'm a little antisocial, but because I just simply chose not to. I'll find a good woman when I'm good and ready, but that's on me to do. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if that's your decision, that's your decision. Just so long as it's your decision, you understand that's your decision. So let me pull up this video of Nick Fuentes going off about this, and we'll just kind of riff on this.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
When you get married, your testosterone...
I'm sorry, at 1.75 speed. I'll play it at 1.5, just so that way we're kind of moving along here, because we'll be here all day if I listen to 20 minutes at 1 speed.
Phone falls off a cliff. That's just true. Do not shoot the messenger. People go, well, you're not very high T. Yeah, I am. I have a strong...
So in the very beginning there, he kind of restated what I was just saying, is that basically when you get married, your testosterone drops off a cliff. I've heard people say that, and there are allegedly studies to prove that. Have I read those studies? No. But, you know, I'm sure everybody has seen this, where couples get together, and then over time, what happens? They get what's called the dad bod. They put on a little bit of weight, they get a little chubby, and therefore their testosterone drops off the cliff. Could there be environmental factors with having a woman around frequently and stuff like that? Yeah. He kind of talks about some of this, but I'll comment on it as we kind of go through. Because I think that despite the fact that Nick is Nick, I think there's some stuff worthy in here kind of picking apart. And as you can see, there's 3.4 million views on it. So clearly there's some interest here.
Brow ridge. I have a strong jawline. I have hunter eyes. I have big hands and big knuckles. Yes, I am a high testosterone male. I have a mustache. Okay, but that's besides the point. Maybe you think I don't. Whatever. Here's the thing. You get married, whether you like me, hate me, whether you think I'm too flamboyant, it doesn't matter. When you get married, your testosterone falls off a cliff.
And once again, why? My theory is that a lot of these guys let themselves go. And let's be honest, they stop having sex with their wives. They don't work out as much. They don't watch their diet. So therefore, the body composition changes, as I was just saying earlier, and your testosterone falls off a cliff. Yeah, exactly. Be easy to get comfortable and lazy. And you know what? Much to B's credit, he's a good looking dude. His wife's a good looking girl, and they're very happy together. And being, I don't want to mistake your age, man, but I know you're way older than you look. And, you know, God bless you, dude, because I'm not going to be as good looking when I'm your age. Just have your wife load magazines so you can spend more time working out, problem solved. Yeah, man, there you go. I always joke about this, but my wife carries more often than I do. I just don't carry because, like, I don't really feel like it. I have a gun. She has more guns than me. So, you know, go ahead. If you want to bust my balls for it, go ahead. Sound off in the comments. But if you're going to bust my balls in the comments, leave a super chat too.
When you have a child, your testosterone falls further still. And it's just biological. Because if you maintained a super high test level as a married father, you would want to kill your children. You would want to cheat on your spouse. Because with testosterone, you'd
Okay, so I wanted to pick apart this too, where he said that you'd want to cheat on your spouse. Any guy who is not in the, as we would call it, the honeymoon phase, right? Where you just met the girl and she is all you could think about. You want to text her all the time and you're obsessed with this girl. I think every guy will say that they're still attracted to other women. It's okay. You could be attracted to other women that aren't your wife. Depending on your situation, if it's a marriage, if it's a relationship that you decide you want to be monogamous in, then, as long as you don't act on it, that's okay. I mean, now, once again, if it's just you're talking or whatever, use your own discretion. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I'm here to just kind of tell you what it is. But I'm sure every guy who has been with anybody for any period of time, you know, eventually you don't feel that same hot, burning passion and desire that you once felt. You still love the person. You still think they're great. But you don't have that same desire to just be up their ass 24/7. So you're going to look at other people and you're going to think, wow, that person looks good. It's normal. It's fine. So it's neither here nor there. Like I said, I think that your testosterone does affect this. And it does cause men to be more aggressive, but I mean, like, you should still have a sex drive as a man. And once again, how you direct that sex drive is completely up to you. It's not up to me to tell you how to live your life morally, but if you have any kind of testosterone at all, if you're a guy, you have a sex drive more than likely, and that's a byproduct of your testosterone.
You'd have a very high sex drive and a lot of aggression, and that does not really jive with a pregnant woman. You know, if you're a super aggressive male with a high sex drive and you're in bed with a, you know, a woman who's totally insane because of her hormones and she's pregnant, it's just not a good recipe. So our biology, in order to stay loyal and in order not to kill our family, basically makes us gay when we get married and have kids. That's just true.
And no, I don't think that's entirely true. Self-control is an essential need we do not have today, but it varies, I guess. Stank bicycle seats. That's hilarious. Now, do I think your biology makes you gay? No. That's basically what he's suggesting here, is that your testosterone becomes low and it kills your sex drive, so that way you stay loyal to your wife. Do I still have a sex drive after being married for 2 years and with the same woman for 6 years and never cheating on her? Yes, I still have a sex drive. Am I attracted to other people? Yes, I think other people are attractive. Do I ever act on that? No. People look good, and that is what it is. I mean, I told Brandy live on air, you know, the co-host of Cognitive Vigilance. I said, yeah, you're attractive. Okay. I'm not going to act on it. You know, that's just, it is what it is. If someone's attractive, they're attractive. It is what it is. My wife is very attractive. I'm married to her. I'm loyal to her. I mean, yeah, I have a sex drive. We have sex. You know, we're adults. That's what adults do who are attracted to each other and have a sex drive. It's part of maintaining a marriage. If you don't believe so, you're probably not in that good of a marriage if you think that sex isn't a healthy part of a marriage.
And I think a lot of men, they never really recover from that. You know, there's a normal loss of testosterone as you get older, plus that. And a lot of men.
I hear this a lot, but I don't know how true that is. I've come to, as I get older and older, question how much aging really is a thing. And I'm not saying that, like, you don't get biologically older. Yeah, obviously. But what I'm saying here is that, like, people say, oh, your testosterone drops, you get older, you get weaker as you get older, you get fatter as you get older, your metabolism slows down. Well, there's been research on this, actually, where people generally just kind of move less as you get older. And I mean, I've even noticed it with myself, where I want to choose to not do things as much. But once again, that's still a choice. People move less as they get older. Your metabolism doesn't slow down. You slow down. And when you slow down, your metabolism slows down. So therefore, you're more likely to gain weight. Your body composition is more likely to change, all that stuff. Let the video play a little bit more.
Men basically become cucks in their own home. Like, they do become emasculated. They gain a lot of weight. They turn into a pussy. Their wife denies them sex. This is a reality for a lot of married men. Don't shoot the messenger again. Maybe not you.
Well, and as he says, maybe not you, but I mean, a lot of this stuff kind of is a choice. You should have boundaries in your relationship of things that are acceptable and not acceptable. And if your wife is denying you sex, then obviously she's a, you know, autonomous person who's allowed to do what she wants, who's allowed to feel the way that she feels, and she's allowed to do that. But as a man, you should probably ponder why that is. You should ponder why somebody would reject you sex. And once again, it's still, you know, it takes two people to tango. But if this is somebody that has chosen to spend the rest of their life with you, or has, you know, entered a relationship with you, then clearly that, at least at some degree, implies that they're attracted to you. So why would they not have sex with you if, once again, this is something that you have done before? As a guy, I think you should ask yourself, why am I not attractive enough? Or what am I doing that's not evoking some kind of desire? I think that's a reasonable question to ask. I have self-control. I see a caked up dude at the gym and I don't act on it. Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, but yes, for a lot of men, that is reality. And I think there is this deep dissatisfaction. There's like a deep shame that comes with that. I think a lot of men, that's why a lot of married fathers don't like me, because they go, this little shit, this young man, this young little shit, he doesn't know what the world's really like. My wife won't let me. There's like this seething anger.
Yeah. And I think whenever you're saying your wife won't let you, I think that's usually a loss of what we would call frame, or your generally kind of seeding territory. Because, like, if there's something you want to do and someone's telling you not to, why does that matter? I mean, if it's a threat of legality, legal force or something like that, okay. But if it's just your wife, what you going to do? Leave? And I mean, if you're concerned about that, okay, I understand. But, you know, depending on what it is it really worth not doing? I mean, should you not maintain what you want to do? Should you not maintain your own autonomy? Something to ponder.
And when somebody like starts to point that out, it really bothers them. It really touches a nerve. And look, I don't know what to tell you, but That's just true. It's like it does bother them on a deep level. And all this stuff that these married like males do when they post memes about being a knight, I'm going to be a true Christian knight. I'm going to have a manly Catholic retreat where we sing psalms and drink beer because I like being a man. I mean, against their wives. And it's very sad and grim. And look, it's something we have to deal with. Like, this is something that weighs on me. You know that. Like, I don't want to get married because I like being a man.
And I think there's something to this where he's saying, I like to be a man. Okay, well, why can't you be a man inside of a marriage? And once again, if this is what you want, if you don't want to get married, then don't get married. I'm not here to tell people to do one thing one way or another. But something that is worth pondering, why can't you still do everything you want to do within a marriage? Did you not execute and, you know, enforce boundaries that need to be enforced? You should be able to still engage in your hobbies and do what you want to do under the auspices of a marriage. I mean, wouldn't you want a partner that desires you enough to respect those boundaries? And if you don't have somebody that respects your boundaries, then what really do you have? I think a healthy relationship is one where people respect boundaries.
I don't want to get married and have kids because I like the freedom of being a man. I like the freedom and independence. I like being able to take risks and be in a dangerous environment. I like that. I like, you know, being unanswerable and unaccountable to a woman or to a family. I like not being domesticated. I like that. I like being able to eat McDonald's all the time and not have to, you know, sit at the dinner table with my hands folded and talk about my daughter who's a cheerleader and what. I like that.
And once again, if you like doing that and that's a lifestyle you like, that's fine. But, you know, you could still do all these things within a marriage if you establish boundaries and establish what your non-negotiables are. I mean, like, I don't think any of this stuff's that hard.
I know that when I get married, there is a trade-off. Like, you know, we could say it's a good trade-off or it's a necessary trade-off or it's an inevitable trade-off, but it is a trade-off. And look, it's a big problem that women have all the power. Women can accuse you of abuse. They can divorce you. If they don't want to put out, you're just kind of done.
And here he kind of has a point. The social and legal order here in the United States largely is gynocentric, as in it prioritizes women over men. Now, there is some nuance here, I'm sure, where I've heard other people discuss where, you know, over child custody suits that men win the vast majority of the time. But, you know, once again, if your wife's not putting out, then ask yourself the question, why? And sometimes it may be your fault. Sometimes it may not be. The other thing is that, once again, you know, I understand this kind of goes back to the whole incel point where, like, I understand why guys don't feel incentivized to go get married right now because, you know, the dating market kind of is fucked up. But, you know, I think you should ask yourself, how could I be the best guy that I could be? What if I was just ruthless in my pursuit to make myself as great as possible? What if I just went to the gym and went as hard as possible? What if I was just that guy at my job, the luxury fucking brand, the guy that everybody relies on, the guy that everybody wants to hire, the guy that everybody looks to as a leader and respects? I think if you pursued that, I think you might find that a lot more opportunities open up, and not just in the sexual marketplace, but in the overall, you know, social marketplace, is, you know, somebody that people look up to and somebody that, you know, you could be somebody that people respect.
Like, if a woman doesn't want to have sex with you as your wife, you can't force yourself on her. She'll accuse you of marital rape. You know, if a woman decides to be an obstinate bitch, if she's not attracted to you, if, you know, if she just turns into a completely different person, once you have kids or once you get married, you're just fucked. You know, and if you protest too much, she will take all your stuff. She will take your kids. She will ruin your life. You will be set back square one. It's a big problem. And you kind of have a few categories of men. You have men that stand their ground and their wife leaves them and they're screwed. You have men that try to cope or live with it and they're miserable. And then you have men that don't exist now. Then you have some men who, by virtue of luck, really, they will say they were smart. But look, women change. In this environment,
And he's not entirely wrong. Once again, women have agency. 976. Huh. women have agency and can do what they want, but you know, there are those categories of men where, you know, you could live the life of quiet desperation. You could stand your ground and potentially lose a lot. But I mean, you know, I do think that courts are starting to change over time. When I had my friend Meredith on the show, who's a lawyer out in California, I think she does like child custody and divorce. And she's starting to say, and I take this with a grain of salt, but like a lot of custody cases are starting to kind of flip around. But you know, the vast majority of the time it is men who make more money. So, and this kind of goes against the whole trad life thing where guys want to keep their wives at home to just make babies and raise babies and, you know, barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, as the saying always goes. When you make somebody that reliant on you and then they want to divorce you, which women can and will do as they see fit, then you do have to contemplate, okay, well, was that worth it? Is it better to have two incomes? And once again, this is up to you. I would prefer it if women stayed home and raised their babies. But at the same time, you know, we have so many labor-saving devices at this point that it's kind of hard to say that, you know, raising children is a 100%, you know, full-time job. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not a mom. But, you know, a lot of the stuff that we used to depend on women to do back in the day, they don't really have to do anymore because we have technology. But the larger point there is that if you are to keep a woman at home, let's say, and have her raise kids, when she decides to leave, you know, there isn't a single guy in the, or at least in the US, that doesn't, or that isn't aware that, like, oh, she could drag you behind the divorce court truck and it only stops when she says it stops. Unfortunately, that is the risk you take when you decide to get married.
There is a saturation. There is this atmospheric effect. People can say, marry a good woman. And yet many traditional conservative Christian men find themselves in this position. Many women who were traditional Christian women, by virtue of TikTok or their friends or a biological change or a lifestyle change, will go off the reservation. It's because of the society that we live in. And yes, we live in a society. Society affects us. We can't secede from it. We can't retreat from it. We're in it. We're affected by it. And women are affected by it more than men. And we live in a legal structure and we live in a certain kind of a culture. It does pose a lot of these issues. And nobody wants to talk about that.
And he is right that social media, and as I was kind of laying out a little bit towards the beginning of the show, the global sexualized market or the global sexual marketplace does kind of change the way that we view relationships, and it does distort women's perception of what's available to them. We no longer perceive ourselves as small, tight-knit communities or tribes or anything like that. We now have the ability to see what your best friend's doing, if she's down in Florida or off in Dubai or something like that. You know, the joke is, you know, if she got flown out to Dubai, then chances are she's not this or that. Or, you know, if she flew to Iran, then she got, you know, pooped on or something like that. You know, that is an issue, but, you know, you could sit and bitch about it, or you can kind of go out in the world and, you know, do your best to do what you're going to do. I mean, I understand the whole men going their own way approach, but you got to decide, is that what you want to do? It's not what I wanted to do, so I didn't.
Because everybody would like to say the thing that we're all supposed to say. Everybody wants to signal that they're doing the thing that we're supposed to do. And what is the thing that we're supposed to do? Get married and have kids. Get trad married with trad kids and be a trad guy. And if anybody has any kind of a problem with that, no matter how legitimate, oh, they get called gay, childless, incel, tiny penis, whatever. But look, that's just true. And Andrew Tate pointed it out. They call them a nigger for saying it.
Oh, that one might get my channel hit. Oops. Yeah, but basically, he's bringing up some good points. There was a certain point in the video, which I may or may not be able to find.
They don't have a say over all my stuff and my kids, and they don't have control over my sex life. Look, I just have good instincts. You have got to establish at the beginning that you're the boss. And if she's not okay with that, you know, love, like anything else, like any other human affair, is war. It's conflict. It's tension. And if the man isn't being a man, if you don't start on the right.
All right. Well, you know, I think I'll pull that out there. Yeah, exactly. I forgot about that part in the video. Yeah, I didn't want to play the entire clip. I was thinking about it, but like it's exhaustive and Nick is Nick, so to speak. But basically, do I think there's going to be this wicked rise of the incels? No. We have Dairy Queen blizzards. We have alcohol. We have all sorts of sedations, all sorts of things readily available to us that we could just take up and numb ourselves right out. I think that's what's holding a lot of people back from doing great things. And I think so long as people aren't uncomfortable enough with being comfortable, then nothing's really going to happen. For the guys who want to put in the work, there will be great, 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 great things available to you. And just my personal antidote, and this isn't to say that I'm some great man, because I'm just another guy, right? I'm just another fucking mechanic that fixes cars and talks shit here on the internet. There were so many opportunities that were available to me throughout my college career, and still to this day, because of the position I put myself in. I decided that when I went to college, I was going to give it everything I had. There was no partying, studying, and trying to get 100% on everything I do. And this didn't come naturally to me. I was an asshole when I was in like middle school and high school. I just didn't want to be there. I just wanted to go to work. So when I went to college, though, I realized like, this isn't the time to mess around now. Like, this is the time to get serious, and this is the time to rock and roll. What that did for me was earn the respect of other people and also earn me a lot of opportunities in the future. This earned me the chance to fill my resume up and honestly get flown out to different places for job interviews and stuff like that. It's pretty fucking cool. So, and the other thing is that, you know, like when it comes to resistance training, this is something that I'm obviously a huge advocate for, but you know, the ability to pick up 500 pounds, there's nothing like it. To have, you know, physical changes go on where people see me and then are like, wow, look, you lost weight. You look good. It's a big confidence booster. You change your mind about yourself. And there was a tweet the other day from that Liberty Anders, that Maggie girl. And she said, I have a guy friend who just needs a little bit of motivation. And she was asking for books that he could read to change his mind. And I said, he needs a squat rack more than he needs a book. And I'm still holding tight to that. Bull rush. Were you ever flown out to Dubai for quote unquote work? Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that live, dude. Maybe on the next Let Him Burn. Maybe I'll let it rip. But like the opportunities are there for you if you're willing to put in the work. And I know that's like a generic term, but you know, if you go to the gym, if you show up to work on time or early, preferably early, you're willing to leave late, you're willing to do the 12-hour days, you're willing to hustle, the opportunities are there for you, because everybody else sucks so fucking much that you look so much better by comparison. So I don't think it's anything revelatory. I don't think I'm, you know, breaking ground by laying any of this stuff out. But once again, the opportunity is there for you. You don't have to be involuntarily celibate, as cringe as that is. You can be someone great if you so choose. But, you know, that's really up to you. And most guys are just going to do what they're going to do. You know, they'll look at other people doing hard things and say, oh, you know, they're gifted. They don't, you know, they have something that I don't have. When sometimes it's just you. It's just you being lazy, which once again, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, if you want to sulk and be miserable and call yourself an incel, okay, that's up to you. All right. A rule that I learned from my folks is when you look for someone to marry, don't look for said person. Let said person come to you. That's why I'm good looking, but it varies on a personal basis. Yeah, people say that, but I mean, I hate to break it to you. If you're a guy, the likelihood that a woman's going to approach you is about zero. That sucks, but it is what it is. So, you know, you go out there and put yourself out in the world and approach other people if that's what you want to do. It's up to you, though. So I think that's all I got. I ranted for almost 50 minutes here, so I think that's more than enough time for me to speak about this stuff here. Come back tomorrow. I'm going to have Kyle Anzalone on to talk about the South Korea situation, the state of emergency, wherever the hell they did. And we're going to talk about Syria as well, because there's a whole lot going on over there. So I'm sure he'll be loaded with information. He always is. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. CommonCrown.com. And one more time, in 10 days, December 14th, we'll be at the Vortex in Akron, Ohio. If you're in the area, please stop out. I'll buy you a drink if I see you. And anything else? 5 till midnight on Mondays. Like I said, tomorrow is I'll have Kyle Anzalone on at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And Bull Rush, who dropped in the chat, make sure you go check out Let 'Em Burn. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. I unfortunately will not be able to make it because I'll be pretty whooped by the end of the day. They start up pretty late, but sometimes I try to make it when I can. Yeah, no Intel Revolution, bird flu. I'm going to say don't worry about it if you get it, from what I understand and what I read there. It doesn't seem like it's that bad. But yeah, I think that's it. Feel free, hit all links below. I want to thank everybody for coming on out and checking out the show. If you are here, hit a like on the way out. I would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that. Become a channel member for $2.99 a month to see all the footage from A Common Crown, including our show next weekend, which I will air here for members only. And I think with that, I'm going to call it a stream. Thank you guys so much. And until tomorrow, take care. Oh, play in Texas. Dude, I have so many friends down in Texas. I really need to make my way down there. And maybe we will next year. Maybe. Anyways, everybody, thank you so much for hanging out. And until next time, take care.